Track 14.
Listen to part of a discussion in a class on English literature.
Everyone here? Okay, I hope that you all did the readings for this week. I know it's midterm time and you're all busy, but Robert Browning is one of the most important poets in the history of English literature. He deserves all your attention. Actually, it's usually not hard to sell Browning on my students, I find. His poetry really draws people in. So, what did you all think?
Well, you're certainly right that it draws you in, but I have to say, it really confused me at first.
What was it that confused you?
Well, I mean, the poems we've read so far have been... It's like the poet is just kind of writing the poem. The poems we read by this Browning guy, it took me a few minutes to realize that he was using the voice of some historical character. It was supposed to be someone else speaking.
Sure. The reason I assigned this particular set of poems by Browning was so you could see what his most famous style was. He perfected a style called the dramatic monologue, and its major features are what you saw in the readings. It's called dramatic because a poem of this type takes place at some sort of dramatic moment in the middle of a story. And a monologue is a long speech given by an individual, right? And so are these poems. You have Browning writing as if he were a different person, usually someone from history, speaking at length. And he talks about something that's happening to him when the poem takes place.
Professor, I kind of cheated and looked up information about Browning when I did the readings. I was like Karen, I was really confused at first. It seems strange that this form of poetry, you know, the dramatic monologue, is so new. Browning only lived in the 19th century. Was he really the first person to develop a kind of poetry where he pretended to be someone from history giving a speech? It surprised me to read that.
Well, you see, the dramatic monologue is actually a more complex style of poetry than it might seem to be at first. For one thing, a lot of poems are addressed to the world in general, sort of, but a dramatic monologue isn't. The speaker in a dramatic monologue is addressing a particular person involved in the story. So, for example, in the poem My Last Duchess, the Duke is doing the speaking, and he's specifically speaking to a servant of his future father-in-law. That's important. A lot of the poem doesn't make sense unless you bear in mind that he's trying to give a message to the father of his new wife.
It took me a while to figure that out, and then when I realized what was going on, it really creeped me out. I mean, did I read it right? He seemed to be admitting that...
Karen, why don't we hold off on analyzing the poem too much for right now? I don't want to shut you down, but I do want to stick to the general structure of the poems for a bit. I will say that when Karen talks about finding the poem a little spooky, part of that probably comes from the fact that, well, you figure within the poem, the speaker is talking to someone in particular. So when you read the poem... You kind of take that person's role, the role of the person being addressed. That's one chief characteristic of the dramatic monologue. Now, obviously, the other thing Karen was probably unsettled by, in the case of My Last Duchess, is that the Duke doesn't sound like a very nice character. We know that because of another key element of the dramatic monologue. What the speaker says is designed to make an argument. He's trying to persuade the listener, and you the reader by extension, that what he did was right, or that his viewpoint is correct, or whatever. He makes a case, kind of like a lawyer with a judge or jury, and in the process, he reveals his way of thinking, something of his psychology, and you have to decide whether you believe him.
It's kind of hard, because I felt like a lot of the story was missing. The speaker in the poem only told his side of things, and you got the feeling that there had to be more going on, but it was all just guesswork.
Now you see why I said the form was complex, huh? Sure, you have to fill in the backstory yourself. And that's the third big characteristic of a dramatic monologue. Now, with those things in mind, let's look at the actual poems you read for this week.
What is the main topic of the discussion? Listen again to part of the discussion, then answer the question.
Okay, I hope that you all did the readings for this week. I know it's midterm time and you're all busy, but Robert Browning is one of the most important poets in the history of English literature. He deserves all your attention. Actually, it's usually not hard to sell Browning on my students, I find. His poetry really draws people in.
What did the professor mean by this?
Actually, it's usually not hard to sell Browning on my students, I find. His poetry really draws people in.
According to the professor, what is a monologue? According to the professor, what are the primary characteristics of the poetic form called the dramatic monologue? Click on three answers. What was the woman's reaction to the poem, My Last Duchess? Listen again to part of the discussion, then answer the question.
It took me a while to figure that out, and then when I realized what was going on, it really creeped me out. I mean, did I read it right? He seemed to be admitting that...
Karen, why don't we hold off on analyzing the poem too much for right now? I don't want to shut you down, but I do want to stick to the general structure of the poems for a bit.
What does the professor ask the woman to do?